This is episode 202 of the Focused Mindset Podcast, and today we're going to uncover the yuckiness of toxic positivity. Yes, too much positivity done in the wrong way is in fact a bad thing, and we're going to talk all about that. If you're new to this program, though, welcome. Don't forget to follow this program so it becomes one of your favorite. And if you have been looking at how you might be able to become a fabulous communicator in only 3 days, I can get you on the right track with my How to Lead Conversations with Hope Challenge. Hop on my website, sharekretz.com, or check the show notes to jump in. And now it's time to get started on this podcast. So let's talk about toxic positivity. This is the podcast where you learn how to build stronger connections and have better conversations using the solution-focused approach. I'm Cher Kretz. I'm a school counselor and a solution-focused life coach, and each week we learn new strategies so that we can build our families strong and be the person that we were always meant to be. You can learn more about our products and services by going to thefocusedmindset.com or hop over to Amazon to get 30 Days to Higher Hopes. Hello, welcome to episode 202 of the Focused Mindset Podcast. I'm so glad you're joining me today, and we're talking about how our emotions and how we approach our emotions affect our conversations and ultimately how we feel about ourselves. It's important for us to understand that every single one of our emotions makes up who we are. The toxic positivity wants us to believe that we need to do nothing but feel happy. We need to be positive, and we need to focus on it 24/7. Now, this is an important subject to me because sometimes people mistake the solution-focused approach as approach that only wants to honor the positivity in the world and the good things and only what's going well. One of the questions that we do ask in solution focus, some practitioners, is what's good, only to help us reframe a little bit about how we're looking at a situation. But just because the solution focused approach talks so much about not being problem focused does not mean that it's an approach that deals with things in a Pollyanna perfect world or just nothing but positive. As a matter of fact, when I think about positivity, it kind of gives me a little cringe. Why is it that I say that we should not focus on positivity? It's because it can be toxic. We shouldn't just say, oh, everything's all good and we're positive, because that is not real life. That isn't the way that we approach life up in our head. And there's something that can happen within us if we're constantly starting to feel bad and guilty for anything less than perfect positivity. That is toxic positivity. When we watch videos that tell us you need to think about the positive, think about the good, and we inundate ourselves either online or around people with nothing but positive thoughts and good vibes, then we ignore 50% of who we are. I've come to you many times and said that life is 50-50, and it really is 50-50. And that means that 50% of the time, we're going to be on track. We're going to be feeling great. We're going to be status quo, and things seem to be going as they should. And 50% of that is not going to be the case. We're going to be feeling crappy. We're going to be feeling like things are falling apart or just going through a sad, depressing moment. And the answer to that sadness and depression isn't to ignore it. It isn't to squish it down. I remember when I was sitting in front of a student just this last week who was so frustrated with how things were going with schoolwork. It was so difficult for her to wrap her mind around any reality but the reality she was facing, which is mountains and mountains of schoolwork and seemed like very little time to complete it. And something within me wanted to tell her, pretty soon you're going to be moving on to a whole new grade. And all I'm thinking, man, these grades are so heavy on her and she's only in elementary school. But what I did say was, this is a really challenging time for you right now. And saying this sentence allowed her in some way to acknowledge that emotion. And when she did label that emotion as being challenging, it was able to relax her. I saw a sense of calm come over her and she said, yeah, this has been challenging. It's felt really tough. I was so glad that I could sit with her in that moment and not make her feel as though the heaviness that she's feeling is wrong. This is the way that I can validate her emotions. I believe that each and every one of us have it in us to be a real support to people, but do it in a way that isn't problem focused. And the way that we can do that is by really learning how to level up our listening and then how to validate through helping them label that emotion and what they're going through right here and now. But it's going to be difficult to do that if we don't understand really the complexities of the toxic positivity. Toxic positivity is a real thing that we need to keep in our mind as something that's important to stay away from. We need to be able to guard ourselves against toxic positivity. It's exactly the opposite of anything that's going to help us progress in our life and move forward and move past an emotion that maybe isn't serving us very well. We're going to talk about toxic positivity. I'm going to break it down. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what it is, what it isn't, and how we can move past it. Many of us grow up because of what we've been told, what we watched on the internet, or how we were raised, believing that our negative emotions were wrong. When that happens, there's a guilt and a shame that's associated with a negative emotion that we have. When we live that over and over again, and then replace our emotion with positive ones, toxic positivity can come into play. We obsessively and excessively focus on someone's positive emotions and fail to recognize their emotions and the complexity of who they are. Toxic positivity can affect how you think, and it can affect how you relate to other people. First, I want to address how toxic positivity can affect you and how you can gauge if maybe you have fallen into a toxic positivity circle, I guess you could call it, where you have begun to feel guilt and shame for any emotion that you feel, unless it's good. Don't mistake it for pessimistic or optimistic, because I'm overall an optimistic person. I tend to just kind of reframe stuff in my mind through an optimistic lens. And I asked myself these same questions that I think you should ask yourself. Do you sometimes feel guilty when you're having a negative emotion? Do you sometimes shy away from conversations and feel uncomfortable if people focus on the negativity? And do you admire people who always are looking on the bright side and kind of, I wish I could be like them? I needed to put myself in check in some of those areas, but I know that I want to honor both negative and positive emotions, but I need to practice that in my everyday life. If there's people in your life that sometimes say it's okay that I feel bad, then it means it's time, those of you that are optimistic like me, to put yourself in check and make sure that you are showing the type of empathy that you truly feel in your heart. And if you are saying things to people like, it's all okay, it's all good, everything happens for a reason, need to be careful about overusing statements like that, because people need to feel that it's okay. How they feel is something that needs to be honored. And even if we don't want someone to be problem focused, we also want them to know that their emotions are acceptable. Think about the effects of this for just a moment. If you don't decide in your life that you want to validate how people are feeling, they might feel like they can't relate with you or live up to your expectation, especially if it's someone that really needs you to be there beside them and really needs you to walk through a time with them that's not so great. They could feel like you're not the person that they want to come to, that you're not the person that can even understand them, all because you've tried to be positive, all because you've tried to keep things bright and on the bright side. That's how toxic positivity can sneak into your life, and then it can affect your relationships. It was never your intention for somebody to feel like you can't identify with their feelings or emotions. Maybe it was just your attempt to be more solution focused, and you know that being solution focused means you're not problem focused. So maybe you flipped that too often. Every single bit of our emotions are important. There's ways that we can validate people and lift them up. So it is important that we put ourselves in check, right? The last thing that we want to do, I know that there's not a single person that's out there that says, you know, I want to be so positive that people can't relate to me and that I'm the last person they go to because unless they're going to say it, something positive, they shouldn't say it at all. That's not the internal dialogue, but that's what it can feel like, especially to someone that's really going through a struggle. Now, I know that this is a fine line that we need to find, especially when with our loved ones. There are people that do seem to be problem focused. And every time you talk to them, they have a negative outlook on things, and it can be challenging to figure out how to deal with them. But it's our responsibility to be able to be caring to others and understand where they're coming from. As for how this can affect you, believing that you're not allowed to express any negative emotion can make you suppress emotions that you should be feeling. And then those negative emotions can come out in all kinds of terrible other ways, like anger, even depression. I see this happen a lot with kids. They believe that they're not allowed to feel a certain type of way that's against how their family has raised them, and they suppress, and then it comes out. And then the parent might say, you know what, I just have an angry child. They're always angry. But it might be that they've suppressed something they need so desperately to be able to express. I've learned to listen to my youngest daughter, who sometimes expresses things through, like a really pessimistic lens. And I admit, it can be challenging for me. It can be a real challenge when she approaches something through the lens of fear, and I automatically am like, that's a lens of fear. We need to stop. And I do think it's important for us to take those thoughts captive. I do think it's important, if we want to live a hope-centered life, to put our emotions in check and not allow ourselves to believe every single thing that pops in our mind. But sometimes when someone's just expressing how they're feeling, they're not believing every single thing that they're saying out of their mouth, but it's an emotion that came over them and they need it to be able to come out. So if you or someone that you love is expressing negative emotions, but then they believe that they're not allowed to do that, that can have a really negative effect, because the longer that lives within them, it comes out in some way. When it comes out in depression, it can be a long, long time before they recover from it. So what I'm trying to say through this whole podcast is that stress and negativity is a part of our human emotion. So how can you go ahead and accept that feeling within you and that feeling within somebody else without being problem focused? I believe that happens when we learn to validate properly. And we do that through affirming how they feel. Honestly, if you are able to step into that person's worldview and really see something from their eyes, then you're going to be able to say what you see within them. If you see stress, you say, man, I notice that there's a lot of stress with you right now. That must really be challenging. That must really feel difficult. I notice that you look sad. I notice that you're really going through it. Now, don't worry too much if you accidentally said something that they're not actually feeling, because most people will correct you. They'll be like, oh, no, I'm not feeling sad. I'm feeling. And then they tell you how they really are feeling. When you step away from saying, oh my gosh, that sounds terrible, tell me more about that problem, but rather really just taking on that feeling that they're feeling and then helping them with that kind of affirmation, the labeling makes that emotion real. It gives the person the ability to breathe for a minute and then notice how they're feeling. It actually gives them the ability to release the stress of feeling that way, because right away they feel heard and understood. The last thing that we want to do is judge someone for an emotion that they're feeling that they don't understand. In some cases, if people are doing like what my daughter does and they're just letting out all of their actual concerns of what might happen, they might even tell you, I know this is irrational. I know this isn't actually the way I feel, but I'm stressed about it. See, the moment that you stepped into their worldview and you validated the fact that this is a difficult time for them, you've been there for them. You've listened and you've leveled up your listening. It's not that you're sitting there and acting like they need to stay in that place, because a hopeful mindset means that we are moving towards taking action towards a higher hope that's on the other side of a negative emotion that's squishing us down. But pausing there without any judgment and noticing where somebody's at, that is how we can conquer this toxic positivity that's been attacking our world and bringing people straight to depression. Think about the relationship between toxic positivity and depression. People might think, oh, well, if you're being positive, then you can't be depressed. Not true. It hurts my heart. But the truth is that the people that are feeling that low, like their life needs to end, sometimes they don't look that way, do they? They are looking positive and amazing and like their life is going great. Sometimes that's because they have found a glimmer of hope that we all need in our life. Hope is something that we absolutely must have and we will find in some way or another. I believe that. But someone that's got to their last straw in depression is far more than depression for them. The reason why they seem elated is because they've found hope in the most destructive place, in the place where they feel like, oh, I could end it all. So in order to help people know that every single emotion they feel is important, we need to be careful to stay far, far away from this toxic positivity and instead learn to validate how people are feeling by labeling for them what's going on within them. And if you're absolutely right when you label it, they'll recognize that and they'll say that. They'll say, you're absolutely right. This is how I feel. And then right away, there's a connection that happens between the two of you where you guys are bound together in a brand new way. And this is the type of connection that you truly want to make with people, that they feel understood by you. They feel like you know who they are, and a little piece of them is now with you because you understand them if you're not the empathic person where this seems to come so natural to, and especially a lot of fathers will be like, I don't understand all this emotional stuff. There might have been a time in your life where you did, though, and that you started oppressing it and feeling as though it was wrong for you to feel those emotions. And with lack of practice, you've gotten a little bit out of touch with that side. It feels weird when you do. It's time for you to say, I was never meant to be the kind of person that brushes away people's emotions. And it's okay for me to be so in tune in a conversation that I'm able to notice, someone's feeling a certain type of way and it's not good. And I want to be able to pinpoint that and then say, it looks like you're a little uncomfortable. Did you know this is also a technique that a lot of people use in sales? A lot of people that have leveled up their listening, they can have better conversations in their business, not only in their family life with their child. A man might say, wow, now that I've learned to be able to connect with my 12-year-old girl who's going through emotions, I'm actually noticing the emotions in the people around me. And when I do validate that they're feeling that way, I'm able to move forward with my business deals in a brand new way, because I'm not trying to just come in there and be the person who has all the answers. I'm now the person where people feel like they are understood by me. I think we can all be that person. When we care enough about the other person that we're talking to, that we want them to be able to feel the full emotions, the 50% that's not so good and the 50% that's good, and we want to be there in that moment with them, not rob them of that. And then we can help them move forward from that in the correct way. Yes, from the problem to the solution. When I talk about this in my GPS life system, I'm talking about gathering information without judgment. It's the time when we do completely and 100% accept where the other person is that we're talking to. If they're in a low place, then we validate that that is the place that they're truly feeling in that moment, that it's real for them. That doesn't mean that we're validating that that is a place that they need to stay. And I think that's where we get mixed up. We feel as though if we call an emotion like it is, that we're saying that that's a good place for somebody to live all the time. And we're not. I think in order for someone to listen to our opinion that this is not the place that you were meant to live forever, we need to first be the person that understands this is where they're at now. And then recognize when they say, I want to move forward. I want to move on. And that's when we can tap into a completely different place that they are stuck in for themselves and say, can you remember a time when you didn't feel so dark? When you weren't feeling so bad? What were you doing? What was different about that day? Or we can help someone look towards the future by saying, if you woke up tomorrow and all of this heaviness seems to be lighter, what's the first thing that you would notice that would make you know that that happened? Sometimes someone will say, I just feel happier. And my response to that is, what is happier to you? Explain that. And then they might say, well, I smile more. I laugh. I tell jokes. I'm really a funny person. And lately I haven't been telling jokes. And I'll say, well, tell me one of your great jokes right now. See how we can move people from that problem to solution more quickly with problem-centered emotions just washing away completely, because we focused on where the person was at, not on their problem. And then we were able to open their mind to hope-centered talk. And really hope-centered emotions, because the hope within them says, oh, if there is a brighter future, what does it look like? And then they name that. See, first, they had to name the emotion they were feeling that wasn't so great. Both of those things are important. Both of those things are valid. And that's what I think is important for us to really understand. Those of you that are trying to be more solution focused, is this does help people move from problem to solution quickly, but not because you move quickly through how somebody is feeling. It's a beautiful thing when you're able to allow another person to think for themselves and talk for themselves and really just be the person they were truly meant to be. And sometimes they don't even know who that is because of all the expectations that they feel have been put on them, either by society or all the things that we listen to in social media. I don't think that toxic positivity is necessarily all the things that we watch that are positive on social media, but I do think that it plays into it. Because I think that a lot of us feel that we need to live up to a certain expectation because we see the best that people are putting out on the internet, and we fail to see the time when they're sick or worn out or frustrated. Just recently, in fact, today earlier, I was talking to my husband about the frustrations that I was having, and it was a little hard for him to hear even. Because he's used to me being excited and fired up about things. But then we realized that that was a moment that we were having. Because everybody needs to be able to find that person that they can talk to about not only the things that are going well, but the things that aren't going well. So fight toxic positivity. Completely reject toxic positivity. Because that is saying that it is wrong to feel bad. And it's not true. Feeling bad and feeling good, it's part of our human experience. And I want you and I want me to feel our life 100%. And also, for goodness sake, if something is going wrong in our life, we need to be able to identify that. And if we're constantly looking at the good, 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 then how can we notice when someone really is treating us wrong or we're in a situation that we need to get out of? There are situations that some of you are in right now that you need to get the heck out of. And you're so busy looking at really a wish of how things might get better that you don't see that you need to move on. You see, that is another, I wouldn't even have time to get into all of that because we're moving on from this podcast. That might be another podcast episode. But if we ignore the fact that sometimes things are crappy so much, then we won't be able to identify it and then move forward from it. All right. So what have we learned? We've learned that toxic positivity is real. It could come in the form of a social media post or the way people act, that you should never be negative, but it can also come from a deep-rooted place that happened when we were raised or the way that we felt like we needed to approach life that rejected the negativity in our world, which actually made us feel wrong to feel bad. We can also accidentally do this when we feel as though we need to always be solution focused in such a way where we ignore the problem altogether. And we can do that by saying everything's going to be okay, constantly telling people what's good, what's going on that's great, and not allowing them to feel like they can come to you when they have a problem. All of this different type of toxic positivity leads up to forgetting that life is 50-50, that we have both the good and the bad, and we need to recognize both. And I believe the best way to recognize that in someone's life is to fine-tune your listening skills, fine-tune them to the point where you can help people name the emotion. It's so hard for them to name within them. Everything isn't depression. Sometimes it's stress, it's worry, it's fear, it's doubt. And if you can help someone say, I think it feels like to me that you're going through a lot of stress, then all of those emotions that they may have even thought was only anger can be the stress can just be relieved because they can say, wow, that is the feeling that I'm feeling. Learning how to help someone name their emotions, powerful. And it's all happening when we let go of our judgment and we don't look at things as if we need to hurry up and reply, but we really listen to where someone is at, listen to things from a point of view of wanting to know things through their eyes, for lack of better words right now, and then helping them affirm how they're feeling in order for them to move forward. This is kind of a little deeper dive into what I talked about on my TEDx talk, How to Lead with Hope, Solution-Focused Conversation Navigation. Maybe you too wish that you had the most amazing conversation skills and you feel like sometimes you get flustered. All you got to do is hop on over and listen to my TEDx talk, How to Have Conversations That Lead with Hope, Solution-Focused Conversation Navigation. And many of you have reached out since that talk and wanted to learn more. And that is why I created the How to Lead Conversations with Hope Challenge. I created it for each and every one of you to be able to have 3 days of emails coming straight to you to help you go a little further with your communication towards a solution-focused result. And you can get that just by clicking the link in my show notes or hopping over to sherkretz.com. That's C-H-E-R, like my name, K-R-E-T-Z.com. And then clicking the link that lets you know that I have a free 3-day communication challenge. It is a challenge because I think that every day that you open up that email and you say, oh my gosh, I'm reminded that I want to be the best communicator that I can be, that it's going to take challenging yourself to do that. Or we just fall into the behavior that we always have had. Head over to my website, sherkretz.com, and start the challenge with me today. And I will see you there. And if you're new to this podcast, thank you for listening. I'm so glad that you're here with me today. Don't forget to click follow so this is part of your special programs and that you'll always be able to catch the Focused Mindset podcast. And it's time for me to get going. So until next time, live solution focused. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Focused Mindset podcast. And right now, you can hop over to Amazon and pick up your copy of 30 Days to Higher Hopes. But if you want to do something for yourself that's absolutely free, then take my 3-day Lead with Hope challenge. This is the way that leaders all over the place are learning to focus on hope and learning how the power of hope can move people to lasting change. And you join the challenge by heading over to my website at thefocusedmindset.com, where you can also learn about my coaching services. And if you would like to support this podcast, there's a few ways to do that. One, feel free to leave a review. I love reading those. And also, become a Patreon by clicking the link in my show notes, because it's listeners like you that help this podcast grow and helps me reach more people with a message of focusing on hope. So until next time, live solution focused.